Thank you for joining us for the California Federal Milk Marketing Order update. This is Dana Cole at USDA, and we are pleased to have you joining us. Today, I'd like to introduce Stephen Vaden, who is with our Office of General Counsel, who will be giving a briefing to us today regarding the current proceedings. Mr. Vaden?
Yes, thank you so much, Dana. As she said, my name is Stephen Vaden, and I am with the Office of General Counsel. The Secretary has asked me today to provide further background and information regarding the California Milk Marketing Order and the notice that we published in the Federal Register, noting that there would be a delay. If you are wondering why the Secretary has asked me, a lawyer, to speak to you today, it is because the issues that we will be discussing involve some litigation before the Supreme Court and how that may potentially impact the milk marketing order. It is my intent today to walk through today's remarks in the following order. First, I will discuss the legal issue that is at play and give you some background on both the legal issue as well as how it may affect the California Milk Marketing Order. After giving that background, I will then respond to some questions I know certain stakeholders have had that are of a legal nature, questions that would suggest there may be an easy out for USDA, and I will explain why, sadly, in this event, that is not the case. Following that legal background, I will tell you practically what this legal issue means for the California Milk Marketing Order, the choices that were before the Department of Agriculture, and the decision that the Department of Agriculture has made in order to advance the Milk Marketing Order in the fastest way possible, while also making certain that it is not legally vulnerable to constitutional challenge. I know that's quite a lot. I'll try to get through it as expeditiously as I can, and because I know some of the issues about which I will speak are complicated, I will try to take my lawyer's hat off for a moment and explain these complicated legal issues in a common sense manner that hopefully most, if not all of you, will be able to understand. First, what is the legal issue at play? And how may it affect the California Milk Marketing Order? Currently, there are two cases pending before the Supreme Court of the United States, Lucia versus the Securities and Exchange Commission and Bandemir versus the Securities and Exchange Commission. Both of these cases raise the same legal question. That legal question is whether administrative law judges throughout the federal government, as currently structured, are appointed in compliance with the Appointments Clause of the Constitution. That, of course, begs the question, what is the Appointments Clause? Well, in simple form, the Appointments Clause is a clause that governs how office holders throughout the federal government who have certain important duties are to be appointed and how they can be held accountable, which is a fancy lawyer's way of saying how they can be fired. The petitioners in these two cases, and I'll refer to them by the shorthand Lucia, allege that administrative law judges, as currently appointed, violate the Appointments Clause because they are not properly appointed and they may not be easily removed. The Department of Justice, which represents not only the Department of Agriculture, but all of our other federal agencies and departments in litigation matters, has reached the conclusion that the petitioners in this case are correct, that the administrative law judges, as currently appointed, do violate the Appointments Clause to the Constitution, and they have informed the Supreme Court of that fact. The Supreme Court does not have to accept the Department of Justice's opinion. It has decided to hear the Lucia case, and it will render its opinion about whether or not these administrative law judges are properly appointed under the Appointments Clause by no later than the 30th of June of this year. So with that legal background, I'm certain many of you are asking, what in the world does this have to do with the milk marketing order? And the answer is this. The milk marketing order was promulgated through a process that is known as formal rulemaking. Formal rulemaking is a process that involves trial-type procedures, and it is presided over by an administrative law judge. That administrative law judge performs certain important functions, such as keeping the hearing on track, ruling on the admissibility of evidence, and certifying the record. So, even though the litigation that is before the Supreme Court does not directly involve the Department of Agriculture, that is to say the Department of Agriculture is not a party to the suit, the issue that will be decided by the Supreme Court involving the appointment and removal of administrative law judges does impact the Department of Agriculture and does impact the California Milk Marketing Order because it was an administrative law judge who presided over the proceeding. Now, I know that there are certain stakeholders in the larger community who have raised questions about this. First of all, let me assure you that when it comes to the potential effects of the Lucia case on the California Milk Marketing Order, the Department of Agriculture has been in close consultation with the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice shares our interpretation of the potential implications of the Lucia case when it comes to the federal milk marketing order. That is to say, we have checked and double-checked our legal interpretation here. Secondly, I know that some stakeholders have raised questions about whether the administrative law judge in this case may be affected by any decision by the Supreme Court in Lucia. And those stakeholders have correctly pointed out that the administrative law judge who presided over these proceedings was performing a somewhat different function than administrative law judges typically perform at other departments. Our administrative law judges here, as well as administrative law judges in other departments, perform adjudicatory functions. That is to say, they act like judges over civil hearings that we have here at the department. The administrative law judge who presided over this formal rulemaking proceeding was not acting in strictly an adjudicatory capacity. She was acting rather in a rulemaking capacity. And it has been suggested that because of that, the appointments clause does not apply. Sadly, that is not the case. When it comes to the appointments clause, the first thing that it is important to note is that it applies throughout the federal government. The appointments clause is not limited to people performing adjudicatory functions. It covers all office holders throughout the federal government, and in particular the executive branch, of which the Department of Agriculture is a part. As a matter of fact, one of the most famous cases for the lawyers on the call, I'm certain they know this, involving the appointments clause was Morrison v. Olson. And that had nothing to do with an individual acting as a judge, but rather asked the question whether the appointment of a special prosecutor was constitutional. Bottom line, the appointments clause applies to federal office holders throughout the federal government and is not limited to those who perform an adjudicatory or judicial function. A variant of that argument has been raised by certain milk producers, including some in a letter to the secretary, that raised the question of whether the particular function performed by the administrative law judge in this milk marketing order, whatever else the administrative law judge may do in his or her other duties, would exempt them from the holding of the Lucia case. To put it in layman's terms, the argument is basically, well, some things that the administrative law judge does may require him or her to be a duly appointed officer of the United States under the appointments clause, but presiding over rulemaking hearing is not one of those things, and therefore whatever happens at the Supreme Court could not impact the milk marketing order. That is a very nuanced legal argument. The problem with it is that the Supreme Court has explicitly rejected it. In the case of Freitag versus Commissioner, which for the lawyers on the call can be found at 501 U.S. 868, That's 501 U.S. 868. On page 882 of the Supreme Court's decision in that case, they confronted exactly this argument. Namely, the parties to that case argued that whatever the Appointments Clause may require, the actions performed in the case before the court were not required to be performed by an officer of the United States appointed under that clause, and therefore there was nothing for the Supreme Court to decide because the clause did not apply. The court disagreed. The court's opinion says as follows. The fact that an inferior officer, on occasion, performs duties that may be performed by an employee not subject to the Appointments Clause does not transform his status under the Constitution. If a person is an inferior officer for some purposes, he is an inferior officer within the meaning of the Appointments Clause, and he must be properly appointed. To take that out of the Supreme Court's legal language and put it in language that everyone can understand, if some of the duties that a person performs requires him to be appointed under the terms of the Appointments Clause of the United States, then it does not matter that other duties he or she may perform might be able to be performed by someone who is not subject to that clause. If you are an officer for some purposes, you are an officer for all purposes, and therefore if you are improperly appointed, whatever you have done is subject to legal challenge and being voided. Once again, that is the case of Freitag versus Commissioner, and it was decided in 1991. So it is a nearly 30-year-old principle of law. Where have we ended up with this legal background? We have two cases before the Supreme Court of the United States. They involve the Appointments Clause to the Constitution. They involve administrative law judges and how they are appointed. Because an administrative law judge presided over the California milk marketing order, the decision in the cases currently before the Supreme Court could implicate the federal milk marketing order here. That begs the next question. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. It means that if the Supreme Court were to decide that the Department of Justice is correct and administrative law judges are improperly appointed, as currently structured under the law, then the federal milk marketing order, if it were finalized, would be vulnerable to legal challenge and would be highly likely to be vacated by a court, which again, as lawyers speak for, it would go away. And all of the many years of work that have been put into promulgating this milk marketing order would be lost. Those are quite high stakes. So therefore, we had to consider at the Department of Agriculture what options are available to us. I know many in the milk producer community are extraordinarily anxious for this rule to be finalized and for it to be put out for the required vote of milk producers for ratification, and then if successful, let that vote implement it. I don't blame them. But if we were to do that without taking any steps to cure the potential legal vulnerability here, and the Supreme Court were to agree with the Department of Justice, there would be no way we could fix the constitutional error, having already finalized the decision. And therefore, the decision would be vacated, and we would be back at square one. I compare this option to going into a casino, walking up to a roulette wheel, and betting it all on black. Now, you could do that, and you have roughly a 50-50 shot of coming out ahead, but as I'm certain you all know, there are a lot of red numbers on that wheel, and if the ball lands on red, you lose everything. Now, there are some people who would take that bet, and it is certainly possible that the Supreme Court will not agree with the Department of Justice and that it will say that the process for appointing administrative law judges as currently constituted is correct. But if we're wrong on that bet, then we quite literally lose everything. And in case you're wondering, we've done the numbers here at the Department of Agriculture, And we estimate that if the Supreme Court were to decide on the 30th of June that the Department of Justice is correct and administrative law judges as currently appointed are unconstitutional, likely vacating our rule, meaning that we have to start over again from scratch, the soonest we would be able to implement a new California milk marketing rule, again, we'd have to start over from scratch, would be late 2020 to early 2021. In other words, 3 years from now, roughly. So that's one option. I can refer to it as the big bet, but there's a better option that we have here at the Department of Agriculture. The decision has not yet been finalized. It has not been put out for producer vote. And we have the option to appoint a new hearing officer who does not suffer from the same constitutional infirmity that the administrative law judges that we have here do, and have that person fully review the record of the 40 days of hearings that have already taken place, give it a complete thorough read-through with an independent mind, and reach an independent determination of whether that officer will ratify the record as it currently exists. And that is the option that we have decided to take. And what we will do is to appoint another officer we have here at the Department of Agriculture, known as the judicial officer. Again, he is not subject to challenge under the appointments clause because as he is appointed and as he is subject to being removed, that is to say fired, does not run afoul of the Department of Justice's current interpretation of the appointments clause or any previous interpretation of the appointments clause. We will transmit the record as it exists in full to the judicial officer. He will take the time that he needs to review the very thorough record, which, as I'm certain everyone on this call knows, is incredibly lengthy, very detailed, and reflects 40 days of hearings. He will read every word. He will look at every exhibit, and he will reach his own independent judgment on the state of the record. If he is in agreement with the record as it stands, he will ratify it. We will publish that final decision, and we will put it out for producer vote. And if that producer vote is successful, we will implement the California Milk Marketing Order. As he looks at the record, if he has additional questions, or if there's a topic on which he wishes to perhaps make a different decision, we will make that known. Producers will have the opportunity to see the proposed changes, make comments on it, and then only after receiving those comments will we publish a final decision, put that final decision out for producer vote, and if that producer vote is successful, implement the California Milk Marketing Order. By doing things in this way, we avoid reopening the hearing. There will be no reopening of the hearing. We fix the constitutional problem. We thereby limit our legal risk once the order becomes final. And we get the order out in the most expeditious time frame that we can. That, of course, brings up the question, what is that time frame? If we did nothing, in other words, if we took the option that I described as the big bet, doing nothing, finalizing the order, hoping that the Supreme Court does not rule against administrative law judges, and that bet turns out to be correct. In other words, the Supreme Court were to disagree with the Department of Justice. The soonest the milk marketing order would be implemented would be October of this year. Again, the reason why there is the gap is because we have to put it out for producer vote. The final decision must be published. The producers vote on it, and then it requires a couple of months of implementation. By contrast, if we take the option that the Secretary has chosen to take, namely to allow a separate independent officer, the judicial officer here at the Department of Agriculture, to review the entire record, and if he so chooses, ratify it, and then put it out, we could have the milk marketing order implemented in California, assuming a successful producer vote, by as early as November of this year. People who have been listening to the call will probably recall that I mentioned that there is the possibility that in performing his independent review, the judicial officer may have some additional questions that require additional comment from affected parties. He may make a substantive change in the proposed decision. Even if he were to do that, and we sought comment from the milk producers and other interested parties, and then finalized the decision, put it out for producer vote, assuming a successful producer vote, implemented it, that implementation would happen no later than February of 2019. So here's what we have in summary. We have two options before the department. One option requires us to take a 50-50 shot. If we're right, we get to implement the order at the earliest in October of this year. If we are wrong and the Supreme Court agrees with the Department of Justice and the order is therefore vacated and we have to start over again, the order does not get implemented until 3 years from now. Option two, which is the ratification option, we can have the order promulgated and implemented between November of this year and February of next year, which is to say, with a dramatic reduction in legal risk regarding a potential constitutional challenge, and for a delay of only 1 to 4 months, we can implement the milk marketing order and make it more likely to survive legal challenge. Having been presented with these two options, all or nothing, or take some additional time, 1 to 4 month delay, and help to ensure reduced legal risk from a constitutional challenge under the Appointments Clause, the Department of Agriculture has decided to take the second option, the ratification option. We feel that that is the best option in the interest of our producers because it will make certain what we do is in accord with the Constitution, while also not exposing our California milk producers to the untenable risk of having to wait for 3 years if our legal bet is wrong. Those were the decisions before the Secretary. The decision that he has made is the ratification option, and that is the path the Department is beginning to implement immediately. I know that was a lot of information I have thrown out at you in a short period of time. I know that some of it was of a legal and technical nature. So therefore, let me remind you that this phone call in its entirety has been recorded. And shortly after its conclusion here, it will be posted on the USDA website. So that if you joined halfway through the call, or if you wish to hear it repeated in full or in part, you may go to the website at any time and do so. This phone call will also be made a part of the record in this federal milk marketing order. Everything that I have said here will be available to anyone, anytime, regardless of when you find you may want to repeat it. And I'm going to take one more opportunity to just summarize everything that I have said here, because again, I know that it is a complicated issue and we've covered a lot of territory in the past 30 minutes. There are two cases pending before the Supreme Court. Those cases implicate our federal milk marketing order, despite our hopes that they would not. We can choose to immediately implement the order, assuming producer ratification, and have the order implemented by no later than October of this year. But if the Supreme Court decides against the current appointment of administrative law judges, the California milk marketing order would likely be vacated, and we would have to start all over again, meaning that a new milk marketing order requiring a completely new hearing and a completely new process from step one would not be implemented until late 2020 or early 2021. The second option was the ratification option. We can, beginning today, appoint a new officer to preside over the proceedings who does not suffer from any constitutional infirmity under the Appointments Clause, have that new officer review the record in full, reach an independent determination, and if he so determines, ratify the record. He may or may not seek additional feedback from affected parties, but in either case, that final decision, once ready, will be published. Assuming a successful producer vote on ratification, it will be implemented no later than February of next year. The Secretary has decided to take this option with the 1 to 4 month delay that it entails to prevent California milk producers from having to potentially wait 3 years from now for a new milk marketing order to be implemented if the Supreme Court decides against administrative law judges. I hope that all made sense. I hope I have answered the questions that many of you have submitted to your elected representatives as well as to the department. I thank you for joining us all here today, and we look forward to publishing the final decision once it is ready, after it has been reviewed, and for the producers to have the opportunity to review it, and if they so choose, to ratify it in their vote. Thank you again.
Conference recording has stopped.